The Monty Show, Friday, September 14th, 2018. It's a football Friday, which is always good news. We have got big game after big game in both the NFL and college football. Ohio State, TCU, USC, Texas, Washington, the Utes, BYU, and Wisconsin. We've got that coming up. Cannot wait to talk Vikings and Packers. Texans and Titans, Seahawks and the Bears. All that coming up on the show. Jake got in a car wreck today. Holy cow. Are you dead?
No.
You're not?
No, I'm okay.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure if you were actually alive over there. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. I don't know why I always go morbid.
I don't know.
It just happens.
It's just who you are.
Yeah, it is. Anywhere you find your podcast, you can find The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, SoundCloud, iTunes, iHeartRadio, you name it. We are everywhere you want to be with The Monty Show. Without further ado, Jake, let's get to our locks this week. We had a very good week last week. We were 8 of 12. Had an excellent, probably the highlight of the week for us was picking ASU. I told you ASU would win it on a field goal at the end of the game, and they did. 5-7 in college football, 3-5 in the National Football League.
Pretty good.
Can do that again. Why don't we start with the college pigskins? Ohio State, number 4 Buckeyes, traveling to TCU. They're going to play this game at Jarrah World in Arlington. Ohio State's a 12.5 point favorite on the road. The number's 59. And I think the overwhelming factor in this football game, almost without question, can TCU handle the size and physicality of Ohio State? Because I think we all know that TCU defense is very good. Yeah. And they have been. But much like Ohio State, this is TCU's best game. I don't think they can handle it. And I think Ohio State's going to win this game. But I'm not 100% convicted that they're going to win.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, TCU, you're exactly right. They're playing their best opponent on the schedule. And I really think for Ohio State, I think it's how you execute offensively. Like you said, they have the size. It's just a matter of how they can come out and really impose their will. Are they going to try to run the football? Are they going to try and, you know, mix it up with their quarterback play?
TCU,
you know,
has to run the football.
Oh, for sure. I think if you're TCU, you're going to have to, your defense is going to have to ball out in this game if you're going to have a chance. You got to get at least one score out of your defense. You got to have a lot of, you know, tackles for losses. And I think at the end of the day, I agree with you. I think this is Ohio State's game to lose, but I think TCU is in it. They have a chance.
I think TCU will run wild at times. When you have Turpin and you have a quarterback like Sean Robinson, you have guys who can make plays with their legs. But it's a question of how long can that go on? And then it's a question of the wear and tear on that defense. And I frankly don't think TCU holds up at the end, but I think it's close. Ohio State 31, TCU 24. So Ohio State wins, but TCU covers, and this game comes under 59 points in college.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. And really what 59 says to me is they think Ohio State is really going to light it up.
So I'm going 55 points, which comes under the 55-point number. Ohio State 31, TCU 24. How do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I think Ohio State scores a little bit more, so I'm going 35-24. Still a little bit under the number.
Wow.
And I think So I think Ohio State, it has just so much offensively. Like, so they have the size, they have good quarterback play, and I think at some point for TCU, when you're not moving the football offensively, your defense is going to get tired.
I wonder how much Tate Martell, if at all, plays in this game for Ohio State. Obviously, he is the sexy sports car during your midlife crisis that every Ohio State Buckeye fan wants to see because he's a pure dual threat. But, you know, I look at Dwayne Haskins very much the way that NFL fans look at a guy like an Alex Smith. Oh, he's a game manager, and he's a really effective quarterback.
He's reliable.
Yeah, and he's only a sophomore. So it'll be interesting to see what do they do with Tate Martell. And by the way, the other storyline I think we have to talk about is that this is Urban Meyer's final game of the suspension. He will not travel to Arlington with the team. He has been able to prepare them all week, but he is not allowed to coach the game. So it'll be interesting. A lot of factors at play. But at the end of the day in college football, I really think the kids determine it. And yeah. I think they're just too big up front,
yeah.
especially on the offensive line for Ohio State. So I'll go 31. 24, Ohio State will win, but TCU will cover. Let's move to a game that I think is absolutely fascinating because of the desperation that's involved with the USC Trojans traveling to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns. The Longhorns, believe it or not, are unranked, and they're still 3.5-point favorites. The number's 47. Number 22, USC. The storylines around this team are fascinating. You're starting a true freshman in JT Daniels, who I think has really struggled. You're on the road against a quality opponent for the second straight week. Remember, they got that ass whooped at Stanford last week, the farm.
Yeah.
And now you're going down to Austin to play in a hotbed of college football. You have a coach in Clay Helton, who I think is coaching for his job. If you lose to both Stanford and Texas back-to-back, you're in trouble. And this team has already sputtered and has not lived up to expectations that Helton kind of came in the door with. So I think this is very interesting. But let's not forget the guy on the other sideline in Tom Herman. He needs this win. Texans have been waiting for Tom Herman to win a big game for 2 years. And now he's got a chance against, and I don't want to say they're wounded, but against a downtrodden USC.
Yeah, they're not big boy USC this year. They're not like, holy cow, this is USC coming in. The only reason this is a big game for Herman is because the USC nameplate is there.
And that's a huge rivalry.
Oh, for sure. It is a huge rivalry. But I think, you know, for me, I'm always the guy who says a rivalry game just depends on, like, how big the game is really depends on the quality of both sides. So if both sides are quality teams and they're got a chance to do big things, then it's a big rivalry game. I don't know that I necessarily agree that this is a, you know, a really consequential game, but I think you're right. Herman's, you know, he needs this win.
He needs to win the fans.
Yeah, I mean, for his reputation. Yeah. I totally agree.
Because I think he's not going to get fired yet, but he will find himself on a much warmer seat if they lose this game. And the other part of this, and this might be minutia for some, but I really think in the Pac-12, this is incredibly important. You're going to Texas, and this is a recruiting trip. This is absolutely a business trip. This is what Bronco Mendenhall always talked about when they played Texas at BYU, and he did that now infamous, you know, American Statesman interview. Going to Texas is about much more than the game you're playing. It's about recruiting. So if you at USC go to Texas and play well and look good and beat Texas, it's going to help you get more talent. So there is that. But then there's the story of the quarterbacks. JT Daniels has been wildly disappointing as a true freshman. You're used to gunslingers at USC, whether that's Matt Barkley, whether that is Sam Darnold. You're used to guys coming in and being really good under center, and I don't think JT Daniels has been that. He's a guy that is completing 54% of his passes, which
is
not
good enough.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Sam Ellinger at Texas has been much better, frankly. 4 touchdowns, 2 picks, 64%. And really, I think it also comes down to who's going to run the ball better. Because remember, Texas is going to be without their top back in Keontae Ingram. He's out. But you have this guy in Trey Watson who's just the next man up, who can run, who can make big plays. All of this to say, I love Texas in this game. I think you're going to see a lot of horn hooking. I think Texas wins 27-21. They win, they cover, they break it, and it's an over pick here. Because remember, the line is 47. I've got this at 48, 27-21. Texas wins this game.
Yeah, see, I disagree. I think Helton's coaching for his job. You lose this game, you're in deep trouble as far as – because this season – their season's arguably already lost. If you lose this game, you go 0-2, your season's over. It's done with. So I think USC is playing for their life in this game, and I think they come out and they win this game 31-27.
Wow. So you see a lot of points.
I do, yeah.
All right. 31-27 certainly would be the over, and that would be a nice win for USC. I don't think that happens. Now, let's move on to a couple of big boy football games, because you have two teams that are going to play In Salt Lake City.
My favorite matchup of the week by far.
Number 10, the Washington Huskies against a team in Utah that is unranked. And they're unranked and they're unhappy about being unranked. They feel disrespected that a team like a USC who lost at Stanford is hanging on to number 22. And you as the Utah Utes who had a really scrappy win at Northern Arizona, or excuse me, at Northern Illinois,
yeah,
are unranked. But I don't know how to feel about this Utah offense.
Yeah.
I know all about the Utes defense. It's Kyle Whittingham. What is there really to talk about? The defense is stellar. Chase Hansen made me look like a freaking rock star last weekend because I tweeted out, hey, this defense is going to have to score and probably will. And bam, he gets a pick six. I think Chase Hansen, I think Cody Barton are going to be keys in this game. But I have to figure out in my mind, I really have to figure out what it is that Utah does offensively. And the answer is, I don't know. Moss has an ankle injury. How healthy is he? I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's sketch. I mean, if you don't have a healthy Moss, that really changes things for them, right? Because you don't have dominant quarterback play. You really don't have a dominant offense. This is a defensive-heavy team. And I'm all for that. But at the same time, the goal here is to score more points than the other team. So you do that on offense. And so I think for the Utes, the defense is going to have to be stellar. They're going to have to get off the field on fourth down, mainly because they're going to be on the field a lot anyway. So you cannot give UW extra possessions. You can't give them extra first downs and more time on the field. That can't happen. And so I agree with you. I think Hansen's got to play another big role this week, just as he will the rest of the year. They do need to turn the football over, and it would be nice if they got another defensive score.
Well, you have a quarterback in Jake Browning who I think people are starting to wonder about. He obviously was not great in the Auburn game. And now you're facing a defense that is, arguably one of the best in the country at Utah, in Utah, at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
It's a big deal.
This is a really difficult place to go and play. And let me tell you, Utah Ute fans are talking about the fact that they need to live up to this. The University of Utah is talking about the fact, hey, we need to live up to our reputation as one of the best home field advantages in college football. And so it comes down simply to whether or not the Utes can score on that Washington defense. And can they score enough? And that is my single biggest fear in this offense. I don't know who is going to carry the load for the Utes, because I want to say that, oh yeah, Moss is going to be fine. Zach Moss is a great running back. This is a guy that averages 7 yards a carry. He's a dynamic, explosive player that I think doesn't get the ball enough. You can throw him the football and he'll catch it. You can hand him the football and he's going to do a great job running it.
Yeah.
You've got great options outside. I think Britton Covey is playing fantastic football. Looks like a kid who never left and served a mission. Yet then there's Tyler Huntley. And I hate when Tyler Huntley runs the ball.
It's awful.
I don't know what you say about that. He is negative yardage. He's carried the ball 26 times, and it's negative 8 yards. How is that possible in 2018 college football that your quarterback, who's an athlete, can't run the football for positive yards?
Yeah, I don't know. And that's why it's so troubling. And that's why I say I think this is a tight game only because it's in Salt Lake, only because it's at Rice-Eccles. And so I have UW winning 24-21. Ooh. I think Utah's in this game. I think Utah turns the football over, turns Washington over at least once. And I think if Browning throws a pick six, I think Utah is very much in this game.
24-17, Washington's going to beat Utah. The Huskies are going to win, they're going to cover, and it's going to come in under the 47. Because these are two really good defenses. And let's be honest about it. Zach Moss, his health, and which one of these quarterbacks is more effective down the field, that's going to determine the game.
Yeah.
And I never like going against Kyle Whittingham's defense. But I just don't see enough on his offense to believe that the Utes can beat Washington. And I hate picking them to lose. Because the other thing that I think is on the line in this football game is this is a Pac-12 championship preview, in my opinion. A lot of that's going to be determined by what a team like Arizona State does and what they look like once we get into conference. But, boy, they looked awfully good beating Michigan State.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly that the Utes are the best team in the South. They've got to stay healthy. They have an injury history, and they've got to find a way to win this game.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're in this game. This is not a thing where this will be a fourth
quarter
game.
Yeah, this will be a fourth quarter game.
Yeah.
But this is there's legitimacy on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, think about this. If you are Washington and you go to Utah, that's a game you can hang on the wall and say, hey, look, we went to Salt Lake City and we won, and that springboarded us forward.
Yeah.
You absolutely can believe that, right?
Yeah.
You look at the Utes schedule, it's Washington. It's at Washington State, at Stanford, Arizona, and USC. That's the run of games they're on. And then it's at UCLA, at Arizona State, home for Oregon, at Colorado, and then BYU. Their schedule's a meat grinder. That's why you take it 1 week at a time. This game right here, if you can say, hey, we beat Washington, we're 3-0, and we're going to Pullman to play Washington State,
you're in great
we're going to be
shape,
4-0.
You're going to be in great shape.
And we're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
That's what this game's about. I got to think Washington finds a way to win it with that defense against that Ute offense.
Yeah.
Because the Washington offense is not going to be better than that Utah defense. And I hate picking against the Utes. I do. It's so hard to do. But I think here you got to do it because there's so many questions on this Utah offense. Then there's a game that's not very difficult to pick at all, and that's BYU at Wisconsin. Number six, Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 22-point favorite in this game. Get this. They're a 22-point favorite, and the number's 47.5.
That's called an ass-whooping.
Can BYU slow down Jonathan Taylor, the Heisman Trophy candidate?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Because those boys up front have eaten their eggs and bacon and pancakes and donuts and steaks and potatoes and everything else that bulks up them
Soul
boys
food
on the farm.
In the Midwest, man.
Because that Wisconsin offensive line is massive. Massive. They're good. BYU's 118th on third down conversions on defense. They've given up 14 of 30 third down attempts. 14 of the 30 third down attempts they've had been converted in the first down, so that's not good at all.
Yeah, you know, I just think this is a matchup where BYU is simply just outmatched physically. And then I think you look at, you know, their running back, Wisconsin's running back,
Jonathan Taylor,
and I just think he's going to dominate. I think, you know, when you have a dominant running back, when you have that kind of production, you get to a point where it's just a thing where you can't give extra possessions to Wisconsin. You can't allow him to run you over.
Well, that's where that third down stat comes in.
Yeah, and then the idea, we go to offense with BYU, and we have questions around the quarterback, and I just simply say, I don't know where you go if you're BYU. They can run the ball dominantly. They're going to pass the ball on you. Your defense is going to get tired, and we're going to be talking about how long Mangum's going to be in this game.
So I think that's exactly right, because BYU is terrible against the run. They're giving up 156.5 yards a game. You're facing a Heisman Trophy candidate running back. And then on offense, you have this huge question about Zach Wilson and Tanner Mangum. How long's the leash on Tanner Mangum? You advocated last week against Cal. I think I was tweeting it in the early second half that you need to see Zach Wilson. I think you need to legitimately consider it. If they get out of the first quarter and he's turned the ball over and this offense is sputtering.
If you get out of the first quarter and you're down 14-0, it's time to change.
I think probably. And it depends on how much of that is on Tanner Mangum. Are we seeing Taylor break off 75-yard runs for a touchdown on the BYU defense?
But listen, I don't even think for me, it's not about that. For me, it's more about if you're down 14-0 after the first quarter, however you're down 14-0, you need somebody who can go out and get you a lot of points or at least put you in a position to do it.
Well, Mangum's a guy that, see, and this is where you and I will part company. And we've talked about this ad nauseum, I feel like. Tanner Mangum's a guy that can get the ball and he can put points on the board very quickly. Okay? But I don't think, A, he's a guy that can control an offense. If you need a Hail Mary to beat Nebraska, he's your guy. If you need a 12-play drive, he's capable, but he's probably not going to execute. And if you're down 14-0 at Wisconsin, if you're out of the game, what do you have to lose by playing Zach Wilson? Because I think we all are aware that BYU's schedule is quite unforgiving, right? You're 1-1 right now. You're going to play Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You are probably going to be 1-2 for McNeese State next weekend. But then, by the way, you got a little road trip to Seattle, Washington to play the Washington Huskies.
Yeah.
I think by that time, this change needs to be made, and it needs to be permanent. Because then it's Utah State and Hawaii and NIU and Boise. And UMass.
You're at a point with this situation where we're just now having the conversation, like, how long is it going to be? This conversation
week
can't
three.
Get to a point.
How long is it going to be? We're only in week three.
This can't get to a point where you're week six and we're talking about, why has Kalani not made the change? What is he missing? Because this is one of those situations where you will lose some people in that locker room if you continue to play a quarterback who's not performing.
Well, and my feeling, to get back to this game, is my feeling is that BYU is going to force them to throw the football to win. And I would do the exact same thing. Your chances of winning this game are not real good.
Yeah.
So if you're going to lose, make them beat you throwing the football. Like, don't let Jonathan Taylor run for 225 on you.
So you're saying you'd load the box and make them go over the top.
Yeah, make Hornibrook beat you. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. And sure, Jonathan Taylor's coming off of a game against New Mexico, where he ran for 253 yards and averaged 7.7 yards a carry and scored 3 times.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're BYU.
You can't do that. And I think if you're going to have a chance in this game, which, again, I don't think you will, but if you're going to have a chance, you got to keep him under 120 yards. If you do that, you're in great shape.
If you hold Taylor under 120 yards, you're going to win the game. If you hold him under 150, I think you've accomplished something. If you hold him under 200, yeah, your defense played all right. He's that good. And they're that much bigger than you. That's the biggest deal. Kafusi's not going to be an athletic freak against you the way that he was at Arizona. That's not going to happen against Wisconsin. They're number 6 in the entire country for a reason.
Yeah.
Wisconsin 38, BYU 20. So Wisconsin wins, BYU covers, and this game goes over the 47.5.
Yeah, I got it just a little bit less, so I got 35-17. I think the scoring's a little bit lower, but largely the same game. The same game.
Yeah. I don't see that you have much to lose by playing Zach Wilson, especially if you're down big in the first half. Why would you not play him in the second half?
Yeah,
100% agree. You have nothing to lose. A couple other games keep your eye on. Vandy at Notre Dame. The Dome is a 13.5-point favorite there. The number's 51. I think they're going to cover that, and it's going to be much more than 51 there. So I like Notre Dame tomorrow, though. Wimbush is going to have to play much better than he did against Ball State, by the way. I think the most entertaining game of the weekend is going to be Boise State at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's a 1-point favorite, but the number in this game is 64.5. 64.5. They're saying that they're going to score 32.5 points each. Like, that's, or 31.5 points each, I got, whatever. I'm not good at
this
math.
This is like a 47-35 kind of game, they're saying.
Yeah, this is going to be incredible. I think Boise's going to win that game, because I think Boise's better than most people give them credit for, but that's a game that if you can watch, you should. And then one of the more difficult games to call is Arizona State at San Diego State in San Diego. ASU's a 5.5-point favorite, and the number's 48. So I think this is one of those games where Arizona State either takes their hide off, like Arizona State just blows out San Diego State.
Well, this is that fork in the road in any football season, right? So you're either going to go to San Diego and you're going to just dominate this team. You're going to go out and you're going to show them who's boss. Or you're going to be ASU like we expected you to be, and you're just going to be okay, and it's going to be a battle. And I think if you're Herm Edwards, you much want to go with option A, just like everybody else on that football team.
So,
you know,
yes.
Like I think ASU is in a position where you skate it out with a win. This needs to be a defining win. This needs to be UW going to Salt Lake. This is that kind of a game for ASU. I think if you can win this game, it springboards you forward.
Yeah, I look at ASU very differently than you do. I think they've deserved the 23rd ranking in the country. And they played a down and dirty football game against Michigan State, and they got a special teams play to win it, which tells me they are well coached. The only thing that concerns me is that they did not run the ball well at all against Michigan State. And the good news is that they contain the run against Michigan State, because what do you think Rocky Long's going to do? He's going to run it down your throat again and again. And you can stop him for three straight plays of 5 yards, and he's going to run it at you again the next play.
Yeah, you know, them winning on a special teams play doesn't necessarily tell me that they're coached super well. To me, what that says is you were competitive, you were in that game, and you found a way to win in the end. You did what you had to do to put yourself in a position to win.
But look at Utah. Utah's had special teams penalties for the first 2 weeks of the season, which is mind-numbing because their special teams are usually really good. Special teams are win or lose you games.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. And mediocre teams miss those game-winning field goals. Mediocre teams get special teams penalties. ASU did what they had to do to win that game, and it was ugly. And, you know, N'Keal Harry, I mean, they're going to have to play well.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play really well to beat San Diego State on the road, and I think they will. I actually think they're going to win that game. All right, make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Let's talk the National Football League. We were 3-for-5 last week. We gave you 3 winners last week, and this week is much more difficult than last week. I think the 5 games that we have picked out for you are all difficult. Let's start with the Chicago Bears.
Trubisky, Hall of Fame, 2031.
It took Jesus Christ incarnate to beat us last week and Aaron Rodgers. This week it ain't happening, even though I got to tell you, Russell Wilson's a Jesus fanatic, but he don't walk on water, so we're winning this game.
Okay.
Seahawks at the Bears. Bears are a 3-point favorite. 43 is the number. It's Monday Night Football. Couple of things you need to know about this game. Week 2 road teams that played week 1 road games. So when you play your first 2 weeks on the road, that second game, you're 6-24 since 2009. Ugh. Ouch.
Ugh.
I love the Bears in this game. No Doug Baldwin. He's got a knee sprain. And something else about Seattle that I think is really important. They played at Denver last week. Khalil Mack and Von Miller are very similar stylistic players. Even to the point where they line up over the left side of the defensive line. Like, I mean, they are very similar players. Von Miller dominated the Seahawks last week, which makes me believe that Khalil Mack, who might even be a little better than Von Miller, is going to have a really good night against the Seahawks. And I think the Bears are hunting for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to get it. Their running backs, I think, and I'm hoping that Nagy calls a much better game for the Bears.
He really needs to.
Oh, man.
And that's going to be my main point here. I mean, that's a great point by you. I really think
Thank you. I really hindered them.
Yeah, yeah, you're the best. You're great.
Thank you. We get it.
Yeah, okay. Thank
yes.
you. Okay.
Thank you.
I think Nagy needs to have a better performance. I think it's very rare in the NFL that we say, hey, somebody on the sideline cost you a game, right? And that's not what we're saying. We're not saying he cost them the game, but he certainly didn't help them win that game. So I think this week, the couple keys that I have, first off, are going to be Howard and Cohen on the field together in a different package that you haven't seen before. If he can bring that to the table, I think they're going to be in great shape. Number two, play calling cannot go away in the second half. You cannot go soft. You've got, I don't care if you're winning this game, ram it down their throat. Like, just take it to them the whole game. If you do that and you lose, I'm fine with that, right? I'm perfectly A-okay with that. Thirdly, Trubisky's got to be better. I can't have another picture of a tight end wide open in the end zone and you're looking at him and he didn't throw it. We can't have that. And so I'm with you. I think the Bears win this game. I'm going 27-17 Bears, and I think they have a great outing.
Well, Seattle's got all kinds of issues. I already told you that Doug Baldwin is out. Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright both did not practice. Shaquille Griffin did not practice. Trey Flowers, their other starting corner, did not practice. And this adds to DJ Fluker, their right guard, did not practice. I mean, they've got health issues all over the place. And then you have Brian Schottenheimer today after practice saying, yeah, I got to do a better job running the football. And he talked about the fact that they found themselves in second and long on a routine basis because they could not protect Russell Wilson. So they were losing on first and second down. And he said, I have to call the run more. That plays right into the Bears' hands.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Bears in this game. I'm going to go 35. I can't see. I want to say 35. You talked me out of it in the pre-show meeting.
Dude, go with your gut. I don't want to hear this garbage. I didn't go with my gut. Go with your gut.
31-21. I'll say 31-21. 31-21. Too many injuries for the Seahawks to overcome. The Bears will win the game. They'll cover, and this will, in my opinion, go over. The number's 43. I got it at 52. I just don't know that the Bears can score more than 31 points. I you still got to respect Seattle's defense, but there's too many injuries.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Texans at the Titans. Texans minus -2 in this game. 43.5 is the number. There's only one thing I need to see in this game, and that is Deshaun Watson. I need to know. What does Deshaun Watson look like? Is he set free, or is Bill O'Brien going to, again, try to keep him in the pocket and give him RG3 syndrome and make him a passer? I think you've got to hand him, and let me use cliches. I think you have to hand him the paintbrush and the canvas. Let him pick the colors. Anyway, point is.
Okay.
Let Deshaun Watson be the artist.
Yeah.
Do for him what you did for him last year, which was kind of let him play his style of football.
Well, I think the conversation can't be, hey, you can't run the ball. You're not allowed to do that. You got to stay in the pocket, and if there's nothing there, then you throw it away. It can't be that. What I think it needs to be is, hey, largely play in the pocket, right? Like, use the pocket to your advantage. But when it breaks down, effectively run the ball. Don't try to be Superman. Don't try to go way over the top. Just get your 6 or 7 yards that are right in front of you and slide. That's all you got to do in the NFL as a quarterback, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, and if he does that, and the problem is, really, the problem for Deshaun is that he's capable of much more than that with his legs, right? So guys who can really run want to really run when they get the opportunity.
Yeah. So, by the way, just looking at my app, the number has moved again. It's no longer 2. The Houston Texans are now a 3-point favorite. In this game, I don't even think it matters. There's so much wrong with the Tennessee Titans right now. Never mind their captain and Marcus Mariota's favorite target, Delanie Walker, had a Gordon Hayward moment and dislocated his ankle last week. He's out for the year. Taylor Lewin with that nasty illegal hit that knocked him out, he's not going to play. And now Jack Conklin, their other tackle's not going to play. Their offensive line was already bad. Mariota's either hurt or he sucks, because they took him out of the game after he threw back-to-back interceptions and called it an elbow injury, and now they're saying he's fine. Any way you slice it, I think the Texans are going to win this game, because defensively they're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're seeing a rejuvenated, athletic defensive line. I think J.J. Watt looked really good. I think... you look at Jadeveon Clowney, you just look at the way they're playing
solid,
defense.
Man. They're solid.
I think that this is going to be a long day for Mariota. I think the Texans win this game 31-27. I think the Texans win, they cover, and it goes over.
Yeah, so before the show, I had this at 24-17. But now just thinking about it and really kind of having the conversation, I'm going to go with a dominant performance for the Texans in 31-17. And I think that defense balls out. I think they turn
changing the score.
Yeah, I'm going to go 31-17, because I think you're right. What are the Titans going to do against Deshaun? There's really not much they can do. They don't have much on offense. So to me, that says high score for the Texans, low score for the Titans, and it's easy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it'll be easy, but it won't be easy for the Philadelphia Eagles. They travel to Tampa. It'll be Eagles and Bucks. The Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite in this game. The number is 44. Darren Sproles ruled out today. The Bucks have covered 4 in a row in 6 of their last 8. The Eagles are 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 versus Tampa. You know, the Eagles certainly are playing good football right now, and their defense is lit, if I can use the word lit as an old man. I think that this is going to be one of those games that will change at halftime. I think not having Sproles will not be that much of a factor. I think the real question is, what do you get out of Nick Foles?
Mm-hmm.
And can he sustain drives? If he sustains drives and that Eagles defense is fresh, forget it. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Foles will play a much better game. I think the gunslinger in Fitzpatrick was an aberration, in my opinion. I love the Eagles. 31-17, the Eagles will win and cover, and it goes over. the 50. It goes over at 58.
Yeah, I think the Bucks in this game are going to put up a fight. I think I agree with you that last week was a bit of a show, right? Like, that was a shootout. I think overall, my big question is Fitzpatrick like that guy, or is he just going to go back to being average? If he can, you know, be a shootout kind of quarterback again, I think they're in good shape. But I agree with you. I'm going to take the Eagles in this game, 27-24. I think it's very tight. I think it's a battle.
He'll go back to being average because that Eagles defense is anything but average. And I think that's the real difference. New Orleans clearly has some issues on defense, but then we have the Panthers at the Falcons. Boy, this is an interesting game. Atlanta's a 6.5-point home favorite. 44.5 is the number. Devontae Freeman today ruled out of this game, and you already probably know that Greg Olsen will not play for the Panthers. This is a big, 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 big game for Matt Ryan.
Yep.
You cannot lose this game. You cannot go 0-2. Your percentage of making the postseason goes way down. But, man, I'm struggling to believe that the Falcons are going to win this game by a touchdown. Because I think Carolina is actually a decent team. I still don't like Cam Newton, but boy, they have a weapon in McCaffrey back there. So I'm going to say the Falcons win 27-21, which means, yes, they get the win, but Carolina covers, and it goes over the 44.5 at 48.
Yeah, I think if there was ever a prove-it game for one player, this is it, right? Like, so we haven't seen Matt Ryan really be Matty Ice lately. He let us down, and I think that's a big deal if you're the Atlanta Falcons, because you've paid him a lot of money. He is your guy. So if he's not performing, you're in big trouble. And so for me, I just say this is a prove-it game for Matt Ryan. If Matt Ryan can come out and perform, I think they're in great shape. I like what I see from the Panthers. I think they're a gritty team. I think Cam Newton playing inside is always dangerous. Always dangerous. Yeah. And so I think this game is going to be very close. I think Matt Ryan takes it down the field to win the game. And I think they escape that 31-27.
Well, I just don't see how you can expect to be a quality football team when your quarterback does not perform. We saw this on Thursday Night Football. Joe Flacco this week against Cincinnati was absolutely the undoing of the Ravens.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of that kind of play out of Matt Ryan when the Falcons are bad.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Matt Ryan bouncing balls, overthrowing balls, not throwing balls on time. Like, Joe Flacco had 3-4 chances to put a ball on a guy and threw it behind him. Now, granted, in the end zone there, John Brown probably should have caught that ball, but it was still an acrobatic play.
Yeah, I mean, that still would have been an amazing catch. I mean, to really turn to his left and make a basket catch, essentially, that's asking too much. I mean, this is a guy. I mean, Joe Flacco is a great quarterback, only he's not right now. And so I just think you're exactly right. When it comes to Matt Ryan, he's got to put the ball where it should be, like, placed. You got to be on point. Deliver the football. And if you do that, they will be fine.
Yeah, is Matt Ryan an elite quarterback? I know we talked about this last week. We talked about it Monday on NFL Reaction Monday.
He's not giving us much to really back that up, right? Like, yeah. We know that he's a great quarterback. We know it's in there somewhere, but he just hasn't shown it.
He doesn't give you what guys like, and Drew Brees comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Your guy Kirk Cousins, who we're going to talk about in a minute. Like, mm-hmm. You can count on Kirk Cousins, I think, largely to put the ball where it needs to be. And I used to think that about Matt Ryan, but it's just gone away. And I don't know, is this still the Super Bowl hangover? He had a terrible year last year. So they lose that huge lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Last year he had a career
awful.
Worst year. And now all of a sudden this year he just looks like a guy who doesn't love the game anymore.
Yeah, I don't know really what you say about it. I agree. I don't think he's been an elite quarterback in this league. He's just not right now. So what that means is that take advantage of that right now, but watch out if he finds his way.
Yeah, Falcons 27-21 is the way I see that game. And I wish I could tell you I was really confident in that, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I could see – I have a hard time believing Carolina wins that game, but I think it could be close. And it's all going to be on Matt Ryan now, especially with Dante Freeman out. All right, the marquee matchup, the game we've been waiting for.
Let's
we've talked
go.
About it every day this week. It's the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 3-point oh, wait, they took the number off the board because we have no idea if Aaron Rodgers is going to play in this game. So right now it's a pick 'em, and the number is 46. The only way to really bet this game is the money line, which is at 110, so you don't love that. I think you just got to wait for Aaron Rodgers and that news, and that really is the whole deal. Does Aaron Rodgers play in this game?
Yeah, you know, I think he said yes, I'm going to play next week, right, in the post-game interview. But everybody,
when he was high as a kite
when he was looking high and had the eyes going, and, you know, yeah. So I don't know if he's going to play. I think you're right. If he does play, I think this is a lot closer of a game. But, man, if he doesn't play, and that's what I'm betting on, if he does not play, this is a runaway victory for the Vikings. And if he doesn't play, I've got it at 31-17. I think Kirk Cousins lights it up.
So if he does play, it's 31-17.
If he does not play, it's 31-17.
Oh, okay.
If he does play, I still think the Vikings have 30-plus points, but I think it's a lot closer. I think the Packers are like 27 points, 28 points. Like, it's very close.
Well, if he does not play, the numbers are not kind. When Aaron Rodgers didn't play last year, they were 1-5 against the spread at home, 1-5 against the spread against the NFC North. The Vikings, by the way, are 5-2 against the spread in their last seven road games. They're 4-1 against the spread against the Packers. I mean, every number in this game says you should pick the Vikings, which I will. But a couple of things to consider that make this not a slam dunk, okay? It's Lambeau Field. And I think it's one of the more difficult places to play. I think we saw that, you know, when Aaron Rodgers walked on water on Monday night.
And by the way, that should be said. They're coming off of a big win. I mean, I know it's the Bears, but you still came back from 20 points and won that game.
I also think it was a tale of two halves for the Packer defense. We saw a lot of off coverage for the Packers in the first half. They changed that. In the second half, I think it was very clear that the Packers got up into press. They took a lot of what they had offered in the first half away from Mitchell in the second half.
Yeah, well, I think it's amazing what you can do, right?
Yeah,
like,
he didn't make that adjustment. Yeah, he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is that Matt Nagy made some really, really bad play calls last week. Well, you're not going to have that against the Vikings because I think this is a superior team. But you still have to give a little respect to the Packer corners and Jackson and Alexander because they played very well. So you have to ask yourself, well, who's the better grouping, Thielen and Diggs or Jackson and Alexander? And I'm going Thielen and Diggs.
And I go Thielen and Diggs because I think as a wide receiver, you've always got the advantage. You're always taking it to the cornerback. The cornerback's always reacting to you. So to that I say, if Diggs and Thielen can have good games, don't drop the football, catch the football, and win your matchup, they're going to be just fine.
The Vikings' offensive line is a big problem because I think they haven't protected well. They didn't protect well last week. And now you have a very active Packer front that I think does a good job in disguise and really schematically is a pretty solid, very solid defensive unit. And you really, if you're a Viking fan, you really need to kind of pay attention to how Dalvin Cook gets used because he's shown you he can run the ball and catch the ball. It's a matter of does your offense allow him and support that to happen?
Yeah.
Because if Dalvin Cook gets off, Kirk Cousins is going to have a really nice game. And I think, speaking of Kirk Cousins, one of the other things you really need to watch in this game is Kirk Cousins a better red zone quarterback for the Vikings than he was for the Redskins? Because when Cousins was in Washington, he was not good in the red zone. But he's got legitimate targets in the red zone now, especially in Kyle Rudolph, your tight end.
Yes, sir.
On the Jake Montemayor fantasy football team, which, well, we all know that's the only one that matters. But Kyle Rudolph is a legitimate red zone target. And I think Cousins has to prove that he can operate in that smaller space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question that Cousins can throw the deep ball and put it into a box and tell Diggs to run there.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question that, you know, in, you know, the first 60 yards of the field that he's okay and better elite throwing underneath on crossing routes or outs. He's got plenty of arm strength and accuracy. The question on Kirk Cousins has always been his ability to fit a ball, you know, really into a thimble and be able to throw that ball accurately into a tight window in the red zone. And he hasn't proven that yet.
Well, this is the Joe Flacco conversation we were just having, right?
Oh, perfect.
Like,
yes.
You know, so if you're Joe Flacco, you're putting it behind your receiver, or maybe you didn't put enough juice on it, so your tight end's having to go over
late.
The cornerback, or you're late, or you just didn't make the throw. Like, and there's a big difference, right? So when you're talking about the first 60 yards of the field, there's room to operate. You have a little room for error. When I say error, I mean putting it on the guy's back shoulder instead of his front shoulder. You have that room. In the red zone, you don't have that room. It's got to be pinpoint. You got to be on it.
Oh,
and if
absolutely.
You're not, you're not going to score because the cornerback's going to be all over him.
Well, and I spent a good part of the day tweeting with Vikings fans and Packer fans unfortunately, because, well,
sad
I don't
day, bro.
Like the Packers at all. Yeah. I really should get a life. But the point is, looking at this Viking defense, I see a lot to really like about this defense. And I know that Packer fans will never say anything good about Harrison Smith.
Well, of course not.
But I'm telling you right now that Harrison Smith is the best safety in football. And I think there are a lot of conversations around who the best safeties in football are. Sure, I'm open to that. Earl Thomas. Okay, great. I don't see a safety in the NFL today, including Eric Berry, who I think is number two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a safety in the NFL today that can play in the box, can play behind the line of scrimmage, can play at the top of the defensive formation, can play underneath routes, can cover the running backs, you know, has tremendous ball skills. Harrison Smith gives you that total package. And absolutely, this defensive line helps him with that. There's no doubt about the fact that when you look across the Everson Griffins of the world, Sheldon Richardson, I thought he had a tremendous debut.
Yeah.
Their defensive line is disruptive. But I look at guys in you know, Trey Waynes, you hope he's 100%, which he clearly is not going to be. But I look at Xavier Rhodes, made a play on the ball. I look at a guy in Harrison Smith, made a play on the ball. You're getting guys making plays that you didn't count on to make plays. I just really like the way their defense is getting after it.
Yeah.
And if Aaron Rodgers isn't 100% and he's not able to move, sure, he's still going to be able to do things, but he's going to get hit a lot.
Yeah.
And his margin for error against a superior Viking defense will be taken away. And I think that's why the Vikings ultimately win this game. And I'm operating on the belief that Aaron Rodgers is going to play. That's a guy who, if he can crawl, is going to play against the Vikings at Lambeau. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He'd love nothing more to be 2-0 in the North and be in complete control. But it's not going to happen. The Vikings are going to win this game 27-21 over the Packers. I don't know the line. My guess is that this will be a line that will be somewhere around, if Aaron Rodgers plays, it will be somewhere around 1.5 to 3. My feeling is that this game goes over because the number's at 46. I think it's going to be 48. And you probably want to stay away from it until that number comes out. But I love the Vikings to win this game, and I largely think it's because of their defense.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm saying the Vikings are going to dominate a little bit more. I'm going to go 31-21 to win if Rodgers plays.
Wow, okay. A couple other games that we're not counting as official locks. But a couple other games to look at. Pats at Jags. I think this is a really interesting game.
I took the Jags.
It's essentially a pick'em game. So did I. It's essentially a pick'em game in Jacksonville on a sloppy field. It's a one-point Patriot favorite, depending on where you get it. The number's 45. I think it probably goes under that. This is going to be one of those low-scoring games. It's tough in a game of this, I'm not going to say magnitude, because again, we're in week two in the NFL. But if the Jags beat the Patriots, and if you are able to do that with some kind of confidence, and Blake Bortles is able to lead you to that kind of win, because I firmly believe that Jags defense is going to show up every single week. Blake Bortles is going to be the deciding factor most weeks. Fournette's hurt. That's a big question. But they're at home. It's probably going to be wet. I like the Jags in that game to win.
Yeah.
So
same.
Your boy Bortles,
he's got to prove himself. I mean, I told you, this is a prove-it year for Bortles. You're either going to be the guy or you're not.
And you think he proves it in this game?
I think he proves it. I think guys like Jalen are really going to have to come out and dominate. You're going to have to dominate. Because this is why the Patriots are always so good. Because they can go anywhere, in any condition, and they're still going to beat your ass.
Yeah, they say that it'll be about a 30-40% chance of rain. It'll be very humid. It'll be 94 degrees at kickoff. That favors the Jacksonville Jaguars all day long. So I like them there as well. Giants at the Cowboys is a much more intriguing story.
Nameplate matchup.
Yep. 3-point favorites. The Cowboys at Jerry World. 42.5 is a number. I hate the Cowboys.
I'm taking the Giants. Because
I don't think the way they're constructed.
Dude, where are the Cowboys going to go? What do you have? You don't have an offensive line. You know, Dak hasn't looked great. And if you don't have an offensive line, Zeke's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and this is a game that obviously is the Sunday night game. Most people are taking the Cowboys to win this game. I just have a real problem with that. I don't like the way Dak Prescott's playing football. And I want to say that Saquon Barkley is going to be a huge factor for the Giants. He had that one big play, or he would have been quite pedestrian last week as well. I much more like what the Giants have energy-wise than what the Cowboys have.
Sure.
And I think this could be an 0-2 Dallas Cowboy team very quickly, which is why I don't make it a lock, because I really just don't understand who either one of these teams are right now. I think their personalities are not defined. And that's okay, I guess, in week two. But one of these teams is going to be 0-2 and is likely going to be out of the playoffs. And yep. I think that's a problem. That is a huge problem. So we'll see. You know, do you believe in Dak Prescott? I'm not trying to be a hater.
Well, these are the times when good quarterbacks come out, right? So if you're a quality quarterback and it's not just about having Dez on the, you know, Dez out wide running seam routes.
Well, they miss him. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
But I'm just saying, Tom Brady misses Randy Moss, but he's still getting the job done. You know what yeah. I mean? And I know that's an unfair comparison, but I'm just saying.
No, I understand what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm just saying that I think Dak has to prove himself.
19 of 29 for, what was it, 170 yards? They scored 8 points against Carolina. You know, and again, I get it. It was on the road. I totally understand it. But you got to be better than 8 points against Carolina.
It's not good enough.
And Elliott, it would be different if you weren't able to throw the ball, but Zeke was getting loose. But that's not the case. You don't have a number one. Cole Beasley's your number one wide receiver, which is nice and everything.
He's a slot guy. He should be a slot guy, and you don't have enough.
Yeah, you don't have anything that makes you excited. So anyway, the point is, I don't know who either one of these two teams are, but I think the Giants have more upside. So I'll take the Giants over the Cowboys. Chiefs and Steelers. They say Ben Roethlisberger's fine and he's going to play. 5.5-point favorites, the Chiefs at the Steelers. Did I miss something? Because the freaking Chiefs got a nice performance out of Mahomes. And now you're on the road, and I get it, it's at Pittsburgh, but 5.5 points?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot. I'd be much more comfortable with 0.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd even go up to 3 points.
I mean, 5 points is a lot, and I think
that's
what they're counting. But let's review this though. I think what they're counting on is Mahomes turning the ball over and cracking. You know, you're going to be in a hostile environment. Pittsburgh is a great home field advantage, and I really feel like you're playing in Pittsburgh's wheelhouse. Pittsburgh got a great performance out of a guy not named Le'Veon Bell, which I think is a great thing. And I think Ben looked decent, not great but decent in a bad weather game, and they had to battle.
But Mahomes beat the Chargers. That's a really good defense. Now, Grant Bosa didn't play, but that's a really good...
Tyreek Hill beat the Chargers.
Yeah, but sure. But Mahomes had a freaking unbelievable day.
He did, yeah.
I love the Chiefs in that game. You want
to? I'm not drinking the Mahomes juice yet. He's going to have to show it to me 3 weeks in a row.
If you want to put your cash on an upset, I might take the Chiefs at the Steelers.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And then I think one of the more hype guys has been Sam Darnold. Dolphins at the Jets, -2.5 to the Jets. I don't like the Dolphins at all. Now, granted, it was a rain-delayed lightning fest in Miami last weekend. Darnold had one of the more shocking performances against a pretty crappy Detroit team. But the Dolphins beat a pretty crappy Tennessee team.
Yeah.
So which one of these two do you believe in more? I mean, I guess at home, I much more believe in the Jets than I do the Dolphins on the road.
Yeah, and I believe in, you know, after what was so impressive about Darnold's performance is you turned it over on your first throw. You know, you could have easily gone in the tank, and you didn't. You turned it around, you battled, and you showed us you had it. And I think that's really impressive out of a rookie, your first outing ever. Like, that's pretty good. And so I just say, I think he has it in him to continue to do that. Now, to the tune that he did last week against an awful Detroit Lions, you know, secondary, no. But I think the real question is, can Darnold give you 200 yards, no interceptions, and 3 TDs? If he can do that, you're in great shape because that means he was excellent in the red zone.
I'm only taking the Jets because they're at home in this game. If this was in Miami, I'd be taking the Dolphins. Mm. So, Sam Darnold.
I'm not saying I'm drinking the juice.
Show me again.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm on the bandwagon.
Patrick Mahomes, show me again.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold,
show me again.
Damn right, show me again. Yeah. And Darnold's at home, and that's why I picked the Jets. All right, those are our locks. If you missed them, well, you could hit rewind because this is a podcast. But we've got the Vikes over the Packers to cover whatever that number is, because I think it's probably going to be between 1 and 3. So we take the Vikings to cover and go over. Panthers at the Falcons. We are going to take Atlanta to win, but we take Carolina to cover and go over. Eagles at Bucks. We'll take the Eagles to win and cover. That also goes over. Texans at Titans. Texans will win. They'll cover as well. That one goes over too. And then Monday Night Football, Seahawks at the Bears. the Bears are going to win. I say 10-point win. I think the Bears win, cover, and it goes over. And then, of course, in college, we have got Wisconsin in a walk, although I think BYU covers the 22. Well, maybe I should say I hope. BYU covers the 22.
Keep hoping, buddy.
Washington in a nail-biter will win and cover, but that's going to go under. USC is going to lose at Texas. The Horns are going to win, cover, and that goes over. And then Ohio State at TCU. I think Ohio State wins, TCU covers, and they're under the 55.
Bada-boom, bada-bing.
Bada-boom, bada-bing.
It's taken care of, you know.
When you cash your tickets, make sure you buy us some lunch or flowers. You know, it's okay. Just the way it is. Or you could buy us an insurance deductible. Because yes. One of the dumbasses on this show got in an accident.
Hey,
it
I'm
wasn't
not
me.
The dumbass here, okay? It wasn't me and my fault, all right? Yeah, so driving to work today, and actually
Jake's a big-time recruiter. He's got
full
a job
circle.
Now.
Somebody yesterday said, well, we're at Rockstar, so go get some more. So what did I do this morning? Went ahead and got a case of
actually,
Rockstar.
Actually, it was my... Anyway, go ahead.
So I went ahead and got a case of Rockstar. And, you know, go down to the QT. It's like 2 minutes from the house. Perfect. Got it all set up.
QT or Circle K?
Oh, QT all day. It's not even close.
Thank you.
Not even close.
Thank you.
You know, so I go to QT, got up early, feeling good. Like, yes, it's Friday. Yes.
I've accomplished something.
Yeah,
I have a job.
You know, like, but made my bed. Everything was great.
I gained 2 inches overnight.
Yeah,
and I don't mean my height.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, so... You know, I'm heading into work, like going to meet my manager for breakfast. We're having a bro sesh, you
getting,
know.
Getting promoted.
Yeah, having a burrito.
I wore my blue Nike
and,
shirt
and
for
all
Colin.
That, all that had gone down the
staying
toilet after I got rear-ended outside of Food City. Food City is no longer going to be a good store for me. You know, we're approaching an intersection, right? We're about 40 yards away from the intersection.
Driving your Fiat Abarth.
Driving my Ferrari. We're going about 20 miles an hour. I'm in the right lane. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course,
manual
transmission, 5-speed turbo.
V26.
Yeah. You know, so somebody turns right, of course, so everybody has to slow down behind that person because in Arizona, people know how to turn right.
And they don't use turn signals.
Yeah, you know, so whoever that was turning right, I hate you. So we all slowed down, and of course, I stopped in time. Guy in front of me stopped in time, but the guy behind me didn't stop in time. So he rear-ends me, pushes me into the guy in front of me. You know, the guy in front of me took off, didn't stay at the scene. So what really annoyed me about this is we pull off.
Because he probably didn't have insurance or a license.
Yeah, so we pull off, you know, in the Food City parking lot. You don't lift. You know, so we pull off into the Food City parking lot. And I call the cops and, you know, first thing the guy says when he gets out of the car, the driver that hit me, he goes, well, why do we need to call the cops? Because I don't really want to deal with the
in
cops.
In his broken English, because he did not speak
yeah.
English.
So this was a Latino male.
In Spanglish.
He was a little bit older, so he's about, you know, I think he was probably more than 50. You know,
right.
I don't know. But, you know, so he's saying, well, I don't really want to deal with the cops. Can we avoid that? And I said, no, we can't avoid that. That's part of the process. Like, that's what we need to do. Documentation has to happen.
You don't speak English. I don't know who you are. He was
yeah.
in a work truck, you told me.
Yeah, so this is, so in our experience doing renovation, you know what tile guys in their trucks look like. Because
yes.
what happens is tile guys use their truck a certain way. They have a tile saw and they have a ton of putty knives. Because when you're a tile guy... You got to have certain kind of tools.
Yeah.
And so he has all these tools in the back of his truck. His truck is beat up. And I'm like, oh, great. Perfect. So this is
a tile guy.
And
listen, not to stereotype, but in Arizona, when you get hit by a truck like that, you're like, there's no chance this guy has insurance.
Yeah. And
that's
so,
your first concern.
You know,
here.
And so that's my biggest concern. And so he walks up and he's like, first question.
Do you even lift?
Do you even lift? And then clearly that didn't really work out for me because I said, yes, I got to call the cops.
Yeah.
You know, and so the cops took forever. Can I just say
right,
that? Yep. Phoenix police, you're awful, man. Like, you took 25 freaking minutes to get there.
Don't miss it.
And it's just amazing. And so they finally show up, and what does bro getting out of the cop car have? Guy might as well have been wearing a cowboy hat. Gets out. First thing he does is spits out his spit from the chew he's got in his mouth.
His chaw, bro.
Yeah, like literally spits it out as if he's a cowboy or something.
We get it.
And I'm
you
just
grew
like,
up in Texas.
I'm
we
like,
get
bro,
it.
We get it. Your tolerance level is very low for this morning. So he walks up to me. He's like, hey, license, insurance, proof of registration, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Walks up to the other guy. He goes, license, insurance, proof of, you know, blah, blah, blah. The guy's like, well, I don't have my license, and here's my insurance. And it's like this long-ass piece of paper that he printed out.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm like, okay, well, hopefully he's insured, because if he's insured, I'm fine, right? So it turns out he was insured, but it turns out his license was expired.
Oh.
So he gets dinged for the expired license.
Did he get arrested?
He did not get arrested, I don't think.
So they let him drive. Well, he had insurance.
I left before they did, so I don't know.
Okay.
But what was interesting, the most interesting part of this interaction was that the guy who hit me, gets out.
Oh, there were two guys.
There was the driver, and then there was his passenger, because tile guys, you need an assistant.
Two, yeah.
Yeah. So they both get out of the truck at the same time, and they're just walking over there, cool, like, fine, whatever. Cop rolls up and asks this guy, hey, where's your license? Oh, I don't have any license, in super broken English, like, barely can understand him. Says, no. And the cop is like, well, what's your birthday? Starts asking him his information. What's your birthday? 06.
Oh, six.
And the cop literally says, and I was dying on the inside. I didn't show, but I was dying. He goes, so you're 12 years old? In like a crunched face look.
Damn.
He did him dirty. And I'm like, wow. And so then the guys.
Where's live PD when you need
it? Yeah, and then the Latino guy with no proof goes, 92. Like, just like that. Like, real quick, like very quick.
But he didn't have an ID.
Didn't have any ID, nothing.
Oh, man.
And what was really telling was that the boot he was wearing, his big toe was showing through the boot. So clearly these guys were not in great shape.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
So the first thing you're thinking in Arizona is, are they legal?
Yes, yes. And,
Which is a huge concern.
So the driver was legal. He was legal. His truck was registered. Yeah. Like, he had insurance.
Paper were in order other than the license expired.
I don't know what happened with the other guy. I didn't ask. I didn't want to be involved in that.
Don't want to know.
Don't want to know. But my feeling is, based on what he was saying, one can make an assumption.
Yeah.
So, long story short, the car is in okay shape. It's drivable, but the problem is you turn the AC on and there's a bunch of rattling that goes on. So I don't know what that's about. I drove it home a little bit.
Did you call his insurance company?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
he
I got
is
to work.
Covered.
Yeah, I guess I kind of skipped that. You're right. I should have pointed that out. So I drove away from the scene, get to work. Everyone's like, you okay? You know, came home to a welcoming parade. It was great.
Yeah.
You know, and so then I go to the lunchroom. We have this beautiful cafeteria. It's awesome. I'm sitting in there for like an hour. Called my insurance, you know, then got that handled, got a claim number, all that.
Great.
Call his insurance. And they were, I was thinking I was going to have to get into a battle with his insurance. Not the case.
Oh, great.
Really, like, really nice people. We're like, hey, do you have this information? And I got to say, for how crappy and how long it took the Phoenix police to get out, they did an outstanding job. They literally print out a one sheet for you. It's got all his information. It's got your information on it, like the making the model, like everything you could ever need. It's got a report number, like the cop's name is on it.
Everything you need.
Everything you need is on that one sheet. It's perfect. And so I got it handled. And, you know, the car is going to need a back bumper. It's going to need a front bumper.
But you have so much custom on that car.
Yeah, it's going to need a new hood. And thankfully,
your hood is custom.
Yeah, so the hood is custom. And the nice thing is that I actually asked his insurance, who's going to cover this most likely. And I said, hey, you know, I have these hood vents that I put in, right? And you cut holes in the hood and you have these hood vents. And
yeah,
I said,
hey,
we can take those vents out of the old hood and just cut them into a new one and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Would you guys cover the labor to do that? Because it's a little laborious, for sure.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, you know, we would. So, long story short, after the show today, I got to go, you know, pull my car back out of the garage. I got to take a bunch of pictures of it. I got to email the, because funny thing is, this insurance company is based out of Texas. They're not here. So, there actually
isn't an
adjuster.
It's an insurance company I've never heard of.
Never heard of them.
Which makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, well, hey, if they take care of it, I'm good with it.
Yeah, who cares?
If you take care of it, I'm fine with it.
So, I would. You have a really nice car. And if you, what's your Instagram? You have a ton of pictures.
One.
Yeah, the Catless one, the number one.
Mm-hmm.
The Catless one.
And my story specifically right now is very fun.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, okay. It is.
There's a lot of custom parts. You have an air intake on there. Like, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun car. There's no doubt about it. And you know, I've got a lot of plans of things I want to do to it. Like, the car is not in bad shape right now.
It's not like it's totaled or anything.
No.
It's just you have some ugly scarring.
Yeah.
You have road rash on your car.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's cuts in my front bumper, like, you know.
I think you got really lucky, and again, I'm not trying to stereotype or be a jerk about it, but having worked in renovations, there's a lot of contractors who are unlicensed. A lot of those guys don't have the funds to have car insurance,
mm-hmm.
and they're riding around in, you know, half-ton pickup trucks without insurance. And so when you get into a situation like that, you have to call the cops.
Yeah.
Like in California, I can tell you the cops won't even come out. But they'll tell you if there's no bodily injury, pull off the side of the road and exchange information. It's over. Like that's how it's handled in California. In Arizona, they come out.
Yeah.
Because there's always issues like that.
Yeah, there's always ramifications. Yeah.
Wow. Well, good. I'm glad everything worked out. And by the way, I appreciated you called me this morning.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for you, man. You were like, oh, you were pretty upset about that.
Oh, of course I was. There's a lot to be upset about.
Yeah, that's your baby there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, hey, there you go. Make sure you find us on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Find us online, TheMontyShow.com. Have a great weekend. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.